You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, there you have it, folks. The Final Four is set. Welcome in to BetQLU as we get you ready for the Final Four. It is UConn, Purdue, NC State, Alabama. That is your Final Four of the season. Two teams that I think we certainly expected, and two teams that we most definitely did not. So we'll be breaking down those games, get into some bets there a little bit later in the show. Also, some coaching changes that we will touch on. The carousel is spinning around. So we'll touch on that. I'm John Martin, as always, joined by RJ Choppy. RJ, listen, I would say just at first glance, the best thing is we have the two best teams still in this thing, right? I mean, we didn't have that last year, and we do now.
Yeah, I mean, you've got one team that is a dominant force, and then you have another team that has the dominant force. And I think that's the big issue is that, you know, how does one stop the other? Let's be fair. I mean, like, UConn is a much more complete team than Purdue is, but Purdue has something that nobody else has, and that's something that he's a monster. Like, Zach Edey's just a monster, man. Like, he is such a force inside there underneath. That, yeah, like, you know, these are the two, you know, the best teams right now. You know, and I don't know who the third and fourth best teams would be. If you were to worry about them today, you would just take the four best teams of the entire tournament. But NC State and Bama certainly deserve to be there based on how they have approached this thing. And yeah, you can always make the case, well, would Houston have been here if Shedd didn't get hurt? And you know, what about this? And what about that? Doesn't matter, man. You know, like, they're there. And it's I'm sorry, NC State, would they have gotten there if Houston didn't get some injuries? They're there. And now, like, I know the fans and I know the committee has hopes of what the Final Four, the final game is and final game isn't. You know, you don't want to see a massacre out there. And I think we want to see that collision course with the two best teams that have been essentially the two best teams all year.
Yeah. No, look, you can play that game, and you can play it every year with every team. And that's the beauty of this thing. That's why we love it so much. I say it every week, it feels like. But I did feel absolutely devastated for Kelvin Sampson in that group, though, RJ, because, mm-hmm. I mean, we'll never know, but it looked like they were well on their way to going to the Elite Eight. I mean, with Chet in there, they were, you know, really – I mean, they started the game on an 8-0 run, and they were up 16-10, and it just kind of felt like Duke would not have an answer for the physicality. But what happened, it wasn't just that, oh, you know, you lose Jamal Shedd's production, which they did. It was really everything he represented, right? It was everything Jamal Shedd meant. And you can't just replace that on the fly in the same game against a good team. They just look shell-shocked, and they never and they fought right. Hard, but they never really stabilized after he left.
No, you can't. They would have much rather have lost him on Wednesday than on Friday. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they would have given him a second to prepare, catch the breath, figure things out. Yeah. You lose him in the first half, it's like, okay, like, now what are we going to do? You got 12 minutes at halftime to figure this out? You lose him in the second half, it's like, well, you got no time to figure it out. So, yeah, there's a time and a place to lose your star player. And the time is not the final week of the season. It's not during the middle of a game in the tournament. It's January. It's December, to give you some time to figure things out and see what you have and see who you have. It ain't now. that's not the time to do it. You know, these teams – look, yeah, that's this goes to show you, man, like what it takes to make the Final Four, what it takes to make it. Like, you have to get a good draw. You've got to get lucky, man. I mean, like, Alabama makes their first Final Four. They had to go through Carolina, but they didn't have to go through Carolina and Arizona, right? You didn't have to go through that. You know, it's that's the thing. I mean, if you look around, you know, Illinois had to go through Iowa State and UConn. Tennessee had to go through Creighton and Purdue. Sometimes you get dealt a draw. Sometimes you get dealt some upsets, and sometimes you don't.
No, I think that's a great point. I mean, it's not even about just playing well, you know. It's about staying healthy. It's about and we talked about Houston. Houston's had bad, injury fortunes in this thing the last few years. Sasser last year, you know, Shedd this year. And they got good fortune when they went on the Final Four run because they played double-digit seed after double-digit seed. You know, like good luck and bad luck has many different ways of manifesting itself, you know, in this tournament. And Houston's kind of lived it all. I mean, that for me, obviously we'll talk about the games, the final two games. But I just feel like for me, the takeaway is like Houston had a run in them that we never got to really see. And they're going to feel like forever that they, you know, I mean, they got unlucky. And so there's unfortunately not much you could do about that, but you know, that maybe what could have been, because I saw them here in Memphis against Texas A&M and it was as gutty a win as you can have. Four players fouling out, sending Texas A&M to the free throw line a million times, giving up all those offensive rebounds, still winning. It has kind of felt like after they lost Shedd, RJ, that just like, damn, we've given everything we have just to be in this game and just to beat Texas A&M, you know? And that is the cruelty of March. It is relentless, man. It demands the most every single day. And it's hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's hard to get here. It's hard to get to that spot. Dude, it's hard to make the Elite Eight. I mean, how many teams have just continued to flame out in the Sweet 16 every year or the round of 32? Kentucky can't even get to the Sweet 16 right now. You know, it's just hard to get here, dude. Like, my school's been to the Elite Eight twice. Never been to the Final Four. Came close twice. Never been there. It's hard. You've got to get a draw. You got to get a good draw in a year where you get a really good team. You know, you've got to have that. You got to get a little lucky along the way. And it's just difficult. Like, and then for a team like NC State and Purdue, like, to think they haven't been to a Final Four since Michael Jordan was in college, that's a long time ago. It's a long time ago, man, for both those schools. And, I mean, and there are schools like Alabama getting their first. Did the SEC forget about basketball for 50 years? Like, is that what happened? Because a lot of these schools are like making, like, Auburn made their first Final Four 1 year, and then Alabama makes it. And it's like, okay, so it was just basically Kentucky. It was basically just Kentucky figuring things out in the SEC, maybe a little bit of Arkansas, too. The SEC just forgot about football, basketball for half a century. And it, you know, now they've gotten into it. They're really good. Now you get a team like Alabama who makes a run.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's absolutely nuts that Alabama's in this thing. It's just, again, the variants. On Tennessee, obviously, we've talked a lot about Tennessee this year. And I mean, it's hard to – there was nothing shameful about that game for them against Purdue. They just could not defend Edie without fouling. Now, do you think that that was mostly correctly called? Do you think that Purdue was getting the benefit of the doubt with the whistle? Like, just from your vantage point, what did you think about the way that game was officiated?
I thought there were two that I had a problem with, so I can't really say I have a major problem with them. I thought, you know, maybe Edie could have been called for one or two other fouls. I mean, that's the one that I really had an issue with was he was on the offensive end. He had the ball down low. He wraps it up like, you know how you get a rebound and you wrap it up, both arms around it?
Yep.
He does that, but then he moves his arms up like that with the ball still there. And they called that a shooting foul. I'm like, well, I'm sorry. That's not a shooting foul. You're not trying to shoot the basketball there. Like, you want to call it a common foul, fine. But that's not a shooting foul. I didn't have major gripes. I mean, was it, you know, the nature of the way Purdue plays and the way you've got to defend him, you're going to foul more. And that's just the reality of it. Now, could they have called a couple on him on the other end? Yeah, I think maybe one or two. But that certainly wasn't going to put him in foul trouble. It wasn't going to foul him out. He barely came out as it was. So I didn't have a major issue with how the game was officiated. They had some shots when they had to at the end, and we didn't score for the final couple minutes. It was there. It was tied at 60 with three minutes to go. We had a chance. Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I was super impressed with connecting that game. I mean, because it was just, he was the focus. He was the only person who was doing anything offensively, and yet he was keeping Tennessee in the game. I think that's the, if I'm a Tennessee fan, it ain't about the fouls. It's about the fact that nobody else could help Dalton connect on the offensive end. I mean, where was Ziegler shot? Where was you know, Josiah Jordan James consistently? Viscovi gave you nothing. You know, that's sort of where that would be my frustration with Tennessee basketball if I'm a fan today.
Yeah, I didn't think Josiah had a terrible game. I don't think they got him the ball enough, which means he didn't get open enough. Ziegler, I think he was just gassed. I mean, he played 40 minutes in the previous game. And that previous game, they played that game at 10 o'clock, and this one started at like 2. It was like 36 hours earlier, not even a full 2 days. I think he was just gassed. I think that's all that was. I don't think it was anything that anything more than that. And that's the reality of it. He was tired, and he couldn't make a shot. He did nothing. He wasn't great defensively. He couldn't shoot. That was basically it. They ran into a mutant of a human. Like, he is, man. He is a mutant, is Zach Edey. And they, I don't feel bad about it. I look, the Michigan State loss from 2010 still hurts way worse. We were better than Michigan State. Way better than Michigan State. And should have won that game. Gave it away. That one hurts way more than this one does. Losing to Creighton would have hurt more.
Right. Yes. No, there's no question. And again, like I said, we'll get to Edey, and we'll get to the matchups there. But I mean, that's that game, you know, just personified the advantage, right? That you have when you have and again, he's climbing up the NBA boards too. It's not just the college game, but when you can have a 7'4" guy who can catch the ball with soft hands, and that's why, again, and we'll touch on this. I don't want to like give too much away here, but in a matchup with UConn, I think for those reasons, you have to give Purdue way more of a puncher's chance than they seem to be given at this current time. Because he also, I think the other key with Edey in that game, 33 seconds he sat, and that's it. I mean, man, of that size, sat 33 seconds in a game they had to have. That's almost unheard of, RJ.
Yeah, for a guy, for him to be able to to play that much. That's pretty. That's pretty impressive. There's no other way you can shake it. That is an impressive amount to play. And he didn't seem like he was getting very tired either. He really didn't. It was pretty good. It was pretty cool to see him do that. And I want to see what he does now. You know, UConn. You know, they've got better bigs. You know, we try to throw a bunch of fouls at him. We did the hack-a-shack, and the problem is he makes his free throws. You know, this is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting what Burns has with against him. It's going to be interesting what UConn has if they get there.
Yeah, I thought the other thing real quick here before we get to break, Illinois. Illinois, I thought, spontaneously combusted against UConn. I just feel like, you know, of all the strategies in the world, I know you play a certain way. I know it's hard to adjust it on the fly, but you can't possibly believe that your best way to win is going to be attacking Klingon. You're trying to get that second foul on him. You're failing. At what point, RJ, do you say we have to try something else? And it's got to be before you're down 12 points, right, in the second half. You have to come to that realization long before then, I feel like.
Yeah, 100 block shots, 100 shots, man. That's what we're going to do. It's you've got to come to that realization. That was tough. That was tough to watch. It was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen, though. You don't see – I mean, that happened quick. They didn't score for like 50 minutes of actual real time. That's something you saw in that Colorado State game. That's something Virginia would do, you know, not scoring for that long. It was tough to watch. I felt for him. I felt for those guys at Illinois in that game.
Yeah, that was brutal. That was absolutely devastating to watch. All right, we'll come back. We'll touch on some bets maybe that we've made already on the Final Four, and a whole lot more. Got UConn travel issues. Is that something to consider in this handicap? We'll get to that when we come back. You're watching BetQLU on Odyssey Sports on the BetQL Network. We'll be back after this.